is the Capture Your 365 podcast, a podcast about everyday photography for everyday photographers. This is episode number 16 with Ali Edwards, Crafting Photographs with Story. Sponsored by Exposure, the 7-week online class beginning October 6th, exploring correct and creative exposure. This episode was recorded on September 22nd, 2014.
Welcome to the Capture Your 365 podcast. This is Katrina Kennedy. I am excited to be here today. I have my lovely co-host, Kelly Buss. Hello, Kelly. How are things in Kansas?
Ooh, busy, 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 busy.
Yeah, it is that time of year, huh? It's that school has started and anticipating the holidays. So let's cram as much as we possibly can in between now and November 1st.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
that's good. That's what seems to happen in my life this time of year.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're doing. So.
Well, I am excited to have Kelly here, but I am also excited. I said but. That really negates everything I just said before the but.
That's okay. So that's all right.
I'm excited to have... Anyway. Thank you, Kelly. I'm excited to have Kelly here and... our special guest, Ali Edwards. If you don't know Ali, you need to check out her blog, AliEdwards.com, but you probably already do. So I am going to just say hello to Ali, and we'll ask her to tell us a little bit about what she's up to lately. Hi, Ali.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It is going really well.
Good. Yeah. Here too.
Awesome.
Busy. I'm in the busy camp. I'm in the non-glorification of busy camp.
Thank you.
But man, I think it's just the reality, and it's definitely, you know, we get this transition back to school time. And for me, this is also a time of year when I tend to do some traveling, which is coming up, which I always question every year, like why, but I love it, and I'm super happy, and those sorts of things, you know, all kind of mixes together.
You're headed to Peru?
I'm going to Peru. Yeah, this is my fourth trip with a guy named Jim West, who runs a bunch of different tour and travel companies for niche markets. So he's got like a quilting one, and he's got a Catholic one, and he's got a gay and lesbian one, you know, I mean, just a bunch of different groups. So he has a scrapbooking one. And so I've gone on 3 different trips with him to China and Ireland and Italy. And this year we're doing Peru and Machu Picchu and Galapagos Islands. And yeah, so it's work, but it's not at the same time.
Yeah, that's some tough work.
Well, the tough work comes in the preparation before the trip. You know, it's a 2-week trip. So it's definitely you know, getting childcare and getting work done in advance and those kinds of things can be a little crazy, but worth it for sure.
That's a lot to coordinate.
So
Ali, for the few people who listen to our podcast who don't know who you are, do you want to tell them a little bit about
who you are
and what makes you special?
Yeah, I don't know what makes me special.
Kelly and I can answer that.
Oh, you guys are so nice. No, AliEdwards.com, and I basically, you know, scrapbooking is the easiest kind of differentiator, I think, for what I do. I've been working in the scrapbooking industry pretty much since I started in a variety of different forms. And that was back in 2002, when I had a little baby boy who's now 12, almost 13. And so I've done lots of different things related to scrapbooking over the years, but really my passion is documenting everyday life, and that comes in the form of photographs and words. And I'm using the term now intentional embellishments, because I tend to be a scrapbooker that doesn't use a ton of product. I've kind of been that way over the years, but I also design product. So, you know, kind of find the balance of how can we use embellishments intentionally that enhance the stories that we want to tell. So new website now has classes and products, digital products and traditional products. And I've got a new stamp subscription program, and that's called Story Stamp. So really trying to focus on creating products that, encourage storytelling. So encourage people to tell more stories versus just crafting for the sake of crafting, which I also love and encourage, you know, and those sorts of things as well. I'm very non-judgmental in that arena. But I know for me, if I'm taking time to do it, I want there to be words going along with the rest of it. So that's kind of my, has been my emphasis over the years.
And the reason that I have loved you for many years, Allie, just bringing the photos and the words together in such a meaningful way. It's crazy to me that your son is 12.
He's almost, yeah, he'll be 13 in January.
Yeah, that kind of kills me in a little way, because it used to feel like my son and your son were really far apart in age.
Yeah.
And now 4 years doesn't seem like so much.
No, no. And the older they get, the closer that gap becomes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it really is. You know, it goes so fast. I mean, people always say that, it's so cliche, but it's what's real.
It is what's real. You know? And I think it's what drives, I know it drives my photography every time I pick up the camera that, you know, this moment is going to be gone. And I already find myself, and I know you are a far better documenter than I have ever been. I find myself having these moments of not remembering stories that I didn't write down. Like I can't remember the details, and finding myself really disappointed that I didn't do the work that I could have.
Yeah, I try not to live in guilt. Like, I try not to live in a guilty place, because I think anybody could do that.
I mean, people that
document a lot or people that document a little, it's like, what are people, we humans are so great at finding ways to make themselves feel guilty. So I think for me, like, I try to have these projects that really encourage those sorts of things. And even if they're in specific weeks, you know, like Week in Life, we're going to talk about a little bit. But then to just not, you know, it's like, I don't want to live in that place of guilt. I want to try my best. I want to capture things when I can, you know, whether it's with the photos or with the words. And those little details are really the important pieces that we do forget, the things that they say, you know. Yeah. No guilt, though. I don't want to do it.
That's a good reminder, since we are, you know, we could, society, friends, family, everybody could dump that on us and we can carry it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just no thanks. Yeah.
Not any good for me either. So today we want to focus on telling stories and telling stories in our photos. It's something that I think with Capture Your 365 and taking a photo every day is sometimes a struggle. Sometimes we point our cameras at things. Sometimes we point our cameras at our family. And sometimes we really do capture the story. I know it's something you and I, Kelly, have been talking about a lot lately. How do we get those stories into our photos? How do we go about that? So we all talk about it. We all talk about story. I'm just curious, for you, what does it really mean to capture story in your photos?
You know, I think for me, I was thinking about this morning as I was taking my kids to school, and one of the things that I was thinking about is, I know a lot of the times for me, I mean, I really do live in this place of story. Like, I think about it a lot. I think about, as I'm watching my kids, you know, experience things, as I'm watching, or, you know, I can't watch myself, but you know what I mean? Like, as I feel myself experiencing things, or as I walk through my house, I'm thinking about stories and I'm thinking about how things are going. And I am very reflective and kind of in my head sort of person. So this kind of goes along with that, which can be a blessing and a curse at the same time. But I think for me, the story comes first, often even before I even pick up my camera. So I'm thinking about, you know, I walk down into our kitchen area and my daughter's sitting at the table and she's coloring, and I'm looking at her and I'm thinking about this period of time. I'm thinking about what she's doing, and then I reach for the camera. So for me, it's not always like, I don't always have my camera picked up. I'm not always looking through the lens to figure out, what story am I going to tell? What story am I going to tell? It's often that the story then sets me up to take a picture. Like, how can I document this story via some photographs? So whether it's something that I see right in front of me, or whether it's something that I've just been thinking about, you know, like, I was trying to think of, I don't know if I have an example right now, but if it's just something, you know, in general, I'm thinking about, I'm like, you know what, I need to get a picture of something related to that. Like, how can I take a picture of something that will support that story? So a lot of times for me, it's words first. photo second, but it happens both ways too. Cause a lot of times if I'm just going about, you know, I'm taking pictures, I'm not being as intentional in the stories. Like I'm taking pictures. And then when I go back and look through my pictures, other stories pop up. So it can kind of happen both ways for right. me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does. That
yeah,
does.
I tend to do the kind of opposite. I tend to take pictures and I don't think about words. I'm not very good at writing things down. I enjoy it. For some reason, it just falls off my plate or something. But I tend to be the complete opposite. It's just I'm taking pictures. I'm looking at gaps in my album sometimes too, as I'm going through pictures with kids and I have a, you know, 5 kiddos. And so I all of a sudden realized, I haven't gotten pictures of this 11-year-old in 3 weeks because somehow he's always in a different room or he's having quiet time. So I need to get that. I need to get that he is kind of pulling back and always in a corner reading and not right in the kitchen, you know?
Yeah.
And
sure.
So.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me too. Cause that's because just like you said, the idea that you're going through and looking for gaps.
Yeah.
And I think that in my head versus actually seeing that. That's kind of how I work sometimes. You know, it's just a different way of approaching it too.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah. So Kelly, you see
can you
the,
hear Katrina? Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Did we lose her?
I think we did. That's awesome. I'm like, Katrina hasn't jumped in there for a second, so I wasn't sure.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. There you are.
There is a question about whether or not I'm actually getting my voice recorded. So
okay.
So if I checked out there for a little bit, it was a little bit of panic and I had to change some settings, not realizing that was cutting me off entirely. So thank you for filling in that gap. And
we were like, all of a sudden we had a pause.
Yeah.
And we were just waiting.
It's Katrina's job now. Yeah. Yeah, I was deep in thought. Now, unfortunately, I was deep in thought about something else, which isn't that a testament to life?
That's okay.
You're deep in thought about something else. So Allie, you pick up your camera, you see, you know, you're either filling in those gaps that Kelly has mentioned, or you're seeing the moment and picking up the camera. Can you tell us a little bit about what goes through your head as you hold the camera and what you are looking for through the frame to compose your story?
That's a good question. You know, I am not a technical photographer. So, but that said, I think there are specific, and when I say I'm not technical, I mean that I don't feel like I am a wealth of knowledge about technical photography. Like I'm shooting manual now, I'm getting better, but I don't think that I could talk that through. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm,
so,
it does. Right.
Okay. Yeah. So when I'm doing it, I keep thinking of the kitchen table. So we'll go with that kind of analogy. Like when I'm looking through the lens, I do a variety of different things. And one of them is the composition. And that is definitely something that is in my mind. So composition and light are probably the two main things. So I will generally, you know, like this is a subject that is sitting at the table. So she is not running away from me. I generally am like thinking about, you know, do I want her to the left or do I want her to the right? Because I generally don't have a subject right in the middle. I'm looking at the way that the light is coming in the windows because I'm shooting into the windows. The other day I took some with my iPhone and I was reminded again to turn off the overhead light. Like I took the shot and then I looked out and I'm like, yeah, what am I doing? And so then as soon as I turned off the overhead light, then, you know, I got the light quality was much, much better. And this would be an afternoon type of shot. So I'm thinking about technical things as I'm also thinking about, you know, this is Anna and what is she doing right now and where is she at and what's happening in our lives? Like I definitely am kind of a bigger picture thought process person. But I'm also like, okay, the light sucks right here. I need to move over to the other side. You know, I've done so many shots straight on. I'm going to do more of an overhead shot. Or what happens if I sit in a chair and take it? Or what happens if I put the camera on the table and shoot? You know, what does the light look like then? You know, does it flood? Is it flooding the frame? Is it, you know, coming in at a nice angle? So I definitely go through all of those sorts of things, but I'm also just interested, you know, it depends on how much time I have too. Right. Like how much time is there to sit and think through all of this stuff versus just going, okay, I got it. I want this right now. I want this shot. I'm going to just set the camera on the table. I'm going to take it and look at it once, you know, through the viewfinder in the back or through the, at the, what do you call that thing on the back? You know,
the LCD.
Thing.
Yeah.
The thing.
The
on
thing.
The
That's
I'm
the technical term.
It. Yeah. And then I'm going to go, okay, I got to fix dinner or I got to get her snack or I got to do, or I need to sit down and participate in what she's doing right now. You know, it's kind of, it's such a, there's a lot of things that go on from technical to just, you know, this is, I want to capture this piece of our everyday stuff, you know, of what she's what's happening right then. So
I think one of the things that we have to say about your photos and especially your table photos, I think they're some of your most beautiful real life moments, is that you have a tendency to stand back and get the big picture. And I think that is such an important part of telling the story, that you have context and details and things that some of us might cut out. And then, so I've got a picture of Anna and she's super cute, but we don't have those other things that help contribute to that moment.
That's very true. Thank you for, thanks for pointing that out too, because I think that is a conscious choice that I made at some point, you know, at some time ago, that, you know, part of the everyday storytelling for me is including the floor that I don't like. The scratch, you know, the pinholes in the wall, you know, stuff like that, that other people would get right in their, you know, it would be a much tighter shot on their child's face, or on the work that they're doing versus including more of the surrounding environment. And I do like that quite a bit. And I think that's part of the reason I use a 24-70 lens, which is great for, you know, more opportunities of actually getting more content in the shot,
yeah,
too.
That wide angle does it.
Yeah. So,
Kelly, you've been working on that a lot lately, too. And in fact, most of your photos, you do include more over less.
Yeah, I really have. And I think, like what Ali said, it's that conscious detail that I want to be able to go back in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years and go, oh, look at those goofy, you know, things that are on the counter that are ridiculously so 2010, you know, or something. And, oh, I want to be able to go back and go, oh, like Ali said, I hate that countertop or I hate those drawer pulls, you know, and all those little pieces of detail that all of a sudden add to the story, add to the picture. Remember when the table was in that corner in that direction and that's where we sat, you know? And then there are days that I do want to pull in and get close and just capture a specific mood or a specific emotion, and get rid of all the extra clutter, you know? And I just want to focus on, this is the sweetest, softest, quietest moment and pull away from everything else, you know? And sometimes those pictures are perfect if they're sitting in the middle of the laundry they're supposed to be folding. And instead, you know, they're sitting there playing with their army guys in the piles of laundry, you know, and that adds the perfect context versus if I'd have zoomed in and just gotten his little face and a little army guy, you know, so.
Right. It tells the bigger story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely. I have never taken a photo that I don't think I've ever taken it. I've only converted it to black and white. I'm just going to come clean. I have purple carpet in my office and upstairs bedroom. It was the thing, you know, that thing that we bought the house and we said, that is the first thing to go.
And now it's still there.
It's totally. Yeah, 6 years later. It's still here because it was in like, it was new carpet. Like who puts purple in though? So I have never taken a photo and shared my purple lovely carpet.
Well, you need to now.
I know.
Well, and even if you just take it, just, well, I mean, you would have it if you're converting to black and white anyway, you already have it.
I have,
you
know. It. Yeah. I just don't. I just am in denial.
I think a lot. I have a few things running through my head just from listening to you guys talk too. One is that I think we go through phases, right, in our photography too, of the way that we're taking things. And it's been a long time since I've done any like portraits style pictures of my kids. Katie, my assistant, who, you know, is a big part of our family also, she takes a lot of pictures from time to time where she'll do really cute shots of my kids. You know, we've got a nice white wall in the office and she'll set them up there and because she enjoys taking pictures too. And so she's kind of filled in some of those things that I haven't been doing. And I don't even know why I haven't been doing it. It's just maybe it's, you know, maybe it's just easier for me to take these bigger shots or the wider shots, or I'm in a hurry or whatever it is. But it's kind of interesting to think about, you know, how we go through phases, because I know that I used to take a lot more close-up face shots of my kids, and I haven't done that as much the last couple of years. That was kind of the one thing I was thinking of. Oh, the other thing I was thinking of was, I think for me, some of the thing with including the stuff that I don't necessarily love is a little bit about working on like being thankful and embracing what I have.
Right.
Cause man, I can get wrapped up in how I hate this floor in the kitchen. Like I can become obsessed with that.
Right.
And it's just not, you know, this is not the time for me to fix that floor. And there's something about the going through the process of, you know, including it in pictures and being like, who cares?
Right.
You know, what's really important here.
Right.
I think part of it is, at least for me too, a really intentional purpose to show all parts of my life, you know,
yes.
that I am not trying to just do this Pinterest worthy house where
yes.
I'm just zooming in on my kids. So all you can see is that we have this beautiful table versus you can't see that the countertop is a complete disaster area,
yes.
you know?
Yes.
And I really want to make sure that people, I mean, we don't obviously get the full picture. No one can, but then they get a somewhat realistic picture that, you know, we have five kids, we have life with chaos, you know, it's going to be that way.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like that's a really lovely, because it's not going to always be that way.
Right. Exactly.
You know, it's going to, that is, it will evolve and it will continue to be crazy in different ways because it's just crazy is how it is. You know, but it's not, it's so interesting.
It's interesting to me every time I've seen your kitchen floor photos. Not that you're taking pictures of your kitchen floor, but
no, but it's an element.
It's a large element.
There's little diamonds. There's diamonds.
Every time I see it, I am reminded of the kitchen floor I had as a child.
Ah,
and it's such a warm feeling. So to hear you talk about you don't like it, it's really funny to me because it's such a good feeling for me every time I look into your photos.
It's a great reminder. You know, it's a great reminder that of life,
right?
You know, and that there's so many, I'm doing really good with it right now. Like it's not my current obsession, you know, in my house, but it definitely has been of like, man, I would do anything to get rid of these floors right now, you know, and I go through it's another phase of stuff.
Right.
And usually for me, it's a sign of something else. You know, there's a sign of some other thing that I'm dissatisfied with that I'm pushing my energy into this floor issue, which is a non-issue.
Right. It's always easier to focus on the non-issue. You know, that usually means that I'm focusing everything on my husband when everything else is wrong.
Yeah.
The poor guy.
But it's a good reminder too of that, you know, that the things that we see in our own lives that can be things we don't like can be something beautiful for someone else.
Right.
Too, you know, and just good perspective, I think, on life in general.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think really monumentally important for our children that we're taking photos of everything without judgment and showing them as these important parts of their lives to then help them move forward without that judgment.
Totally.
That was probably way more philosophical than
it's just like for me, I think I recently went with my mom back to the house that I spent most of my growing up years in. My parents, they still own this house, but they don't live there. It's just sitting there. It's kind of, they're in transition, moving to a new house and going to get ready to sell this other one. And being in there, and my parents have always been pretty good picture takers. Like they take quite a few photos and including photos of stuff. Like that's been something that they've done, you know, since I was a little kid. So photos in the house, and partly my mom has done that for like insurance reasons, you know, that she would have this documentation of if there was a fire or if they were, you know, robbed or something, they would have all of this. This is what the couch looked like. And this is what the stuff looked like. But being there in that house and thinking about, you know, that the way that it's changed over time and that this room used to be used for something else, you know, back when I lived there, you know, that was the dining room and then they've moved it. Or, you know, when I went to college, then they moved things around and that kind of stuff. And just being able to have access to those pictures has been something that's really cool, as a part of my own life story of being able to go and look at those and be like, oh, remember when this was this like this, or things that I've wished that I've had pictures of. Like, I was one of those kids that cut things out of magazines all the time and would wallpaper my wall with, you know, in my bedroom with like, you know, enlarged photos from W magazine. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that one before, but it's a really big, larger sized magazine and all these like, you know, guest advertisements or whatever from when I was in high school. And I really wish that I actually had a picture of that bedroom. So I think about that with my own kids, like going in there and, you know, just taking a couple shots of what does it look like in their bedroom right now? What do their closets look like? What's the stuff that's in there? And that's usually like when I'm doing week in the life or I'm doing a day in the life project, that's when I go and I'll take shots like that too. You know, that's like, okay, this is a good opportunity to go in and take a picture of his closet, which to, I'm sure some people are just like, what the heck, you know? And it's not like closet pictures are really some artistic, you know, great sort of photography, but it is really documentary. And it definitely showcases like here's a whole story I could do about my son, Simon. Is he's now wearing short sleeve shirts. So he's had some issues with, he only wanted to wear long sleeve shirts forever and ever. And then this summer he decided that short sleeve shirts were going to be okay. And I've written about this some in the past. So now I can go in and take a picture of the shirts hanging in his closet, and there's a mixture of short and long sleeve, and I could write a whole, you know, whole page about this kind of his own evolution of deciding that something was okay on his own timeline, you know, which was fine for us. But I mean, it's definitely a piece that I can relate to a lot of things in his own story. You know, taking pictures of the stuff that doesn't even have a picture of him. It doesn't have to be a picture of him. It can just be a picture of the things that are a piece of his life.
Right, right. Chris Baker, one of our community members, posted a photo last week of her closet, and it was actually the closet floor, and there were shoes and clothes, and it was, you know, disheveled, and it was a beautiful photo. And I think we all connected with it because it was so real and, you know, wasn't perfect and showed the hecticness that they're feeling right now with back to school and back to, you know, life picking up as it does usually at this time of year. And I think it connected for a lot of us, you know, to strong feelings about our life. So it is those little things, those small moments, those little bits and pieces of our stuff that are so important to photograph. And so, Ali, you mentioned Week in the Life.
Yes.
It is one of my favorite projects, and it is coming up again soon. For those who aren't familiar with Week in the Life, can you give them a quick overview of what that is? And then I want to talk about how those photos become different than our everyday photos.
Sure. Week in the Life is a project that I started doing, I think it was in 2005 was the first time that I did it. And I did it created a class around it to teach at a scrapbooking event. And I wanted to do a project that people had to do homework before coming to the event. Because a lot of times with scrapbooking, people will come to these events and it's like you're making the album where you're making this stuff, but it doesn't have a context. Like, it's like you would go home and maybe you would add your pictures to it. And I wanted to create something that was more meaningful and actually gave people assignment in advance, which was to this idea of documenting a week in your life. And basically what I encourage people to do is pick a 7-day period. I start my weeks on Monday. I know some people start on Sunday. People have different viewpoints about this, but I like Monday is the beginning of the week for me. So I'm going to be documenting this year from October 27th through November 2nd. And there's no cost to do this. It's kind of just a community sort of thing. Anybody that wants to jump on, it's fun to do it during a time when other people are doing it, just for support and just fun to do it at the same time. But what I basically do is my goal with this project is to really kind of capture the nitty gritty sorts of things. And it can be kind of intense, and people often will start off and they'll do it for a few days and then they kind of drop off because it's just a lot. It doesn't have to be this much, but I try to make it kind of a lot, which is basically carrying my camera with me, you know, throughout the day. I take pictures when I wake up in the morning, I take pictures in the bathroom. I take, you know, not going to the bathroom, but you know what I mean?
thank you.
Take pictures in the bathroom, you know, just kind of really intentionally capturing so much more of my day than I do on a regular day. And I also write down stuff as I'm going about my day. And I usually just have a notepad out. I've made some daily sheets, that's what I call them in the past, that have like the hours of the day. So I'm kind of writing down, okay, this is, you know, this is what time we got up. This is what we ate for breakfast. This is what time we left for school. We were late today, you know, whatever kind of details about what's happening. Really definitely nitty gritty sort of stuff. In the hope that, you know, not in a hope, but just in the reality of that a year from now, it will probably be different. The routines will be different. The overarching themes might be similar, but the basics could be a lot different. You know, when I started in 2005, I only had one child and now I have two, and I was married and now I'm divorced, and I've done it every year since then. And they're definitely some of my most favorite albums because they really do focus on the nitty gritty details of stuff. So the pictures are, you know, can be more specific. They can be more, maybe less artistic because I'm taking so many. And I say I'm taking so many, but then some years when I do it, I take less because I've done it so many times that I kind of know the things that I want to take pictures of. That makes any sense too.
That does make sense. You have an idea of how many photos are ultimately going to go on the page.
Yeah. Like, and, you know, if I took 200 pictures, which I have done that before, I took 200 pictures in one day, you know, there's no way that I'm ever going to use that many. So, you know, I probably am going to use maybe 20, and I spread it out in my scrapbook album. I spread it out over a couple of pages. So it's not, you know, it's usually more than one page, which kind of gives you the room to do a little bit more than that. But by the end of the week, I'm done, you know, like I'm ready to be done. I mean, it can be an intense project, but it's also super worth your time. Like, I think that for me, I mean, I've continued to do it because I really like it. And even I could see myself, you know, someday if I'm maybe not working in scrapbooking, I don't know that would ever happen, but, you know, someday down the road, that even if I did this once a year, it can capture so much. I feel like it gets some of my most favorite photos over the course of the year because I am more intentionally going about, you know, carrying my big camera with me in general, you know, not just iPhone, which I tend to be more iPhone, you know, on a regular daily basis sort of thing. So.
Yeah. So
what am
I
missing? Did I cover it?
I think you covered it. I think you covered it plus some. And we talked last year when you were on the podcast about how you can see patterns and trends and things to work on. And I thought that was such an interesting perspective to bring to it as well. And for me, it is without a doubt my favorite project. It is a project that I haven't done it every year, but I've done it several times. And it's the book that we look at most because it is like looking at our life, like in so much detail, and then going back so many things that I would have forgotten and wouldn't have included in picking just one photo of the day like I do on most days. And this year I'm really excited because your dates, and I don't know if this was intentional, your dates this year are very close to your dates from 2008.
Oh yeah, it wasn't intentional. It was really try to find a time when I'm going to be home.
Right.
It was really what it ended up being, and it's a little challenging for me because it's getting close to. I do a December project as well, so it's really close to the December one, and it feels tight for me, but it's how it worked out this time. I try to vary the dates from year to year and kind of move it around. It's a little bit different now because we have an actual little scrapbook kit that people can purchase to go along with it, which is something new with my new site this year. But you know, obviously it's not something that you have to have. It can be really more focused on the words and the photos. And one thing I wanted to mention too, I actually just looked through my album from last year. And one of the things I noticed in my last year's album is I had a lot less words. I looked through it and I literally said out loud, like, where are the words? What was going on? And I did do the daily sheet. So, which is like this 8.5 by 11 printout, you know, where you kind of can fill in the what's happening from hour to hour, but I didn't have a lot of extra words. And I know, like, thinking back, like, it was a really busy time and I had some other like emotional things going on, which can make it harder to document some of the stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is not how I don't want it to just be a photo book. Like, I want to have the words in there. I want to have other stuff written down. So it's a good reminder to myself going into this year to think more intentionally about what I want to write down. You know, and like I said, it's not guilty, you know, it's not a guilt thing. It's more of like, okay, just a reminder to myself of, that I want to have more words included.
Yeah. Just a realization that the words do add impact and more depth to your story.
Yeah. And I think especially in this kind of thing where even if it's just writing down, if I'm just taking the things that I jotted down, that is worth it to me, you know, like, because sometimes it can feel like extra work where you're going in, like, I take all these notes and then I have to do something with them. You know, I need to type them up or I need to, you know, there's like becomes extra steps involved. And I don't always like that part, but I like it in the end. You know, I like it when I look back a year later, I want to see that stuff. And that was the good reminder to myself this year too.
Yeah, I find when I spend a lot of time going back and looking at my photos, and as Kelly knows, I hoard a lot of photos that probably should be deleted. And I find myself going back and looking at some, and they trigger stories for me. They trigger moments and memories. And then I go back and look at some, and I realize I have no idea what that was. I have, you know, I can see it at face value and know what it is, but I have no idea why I chose that photo, why I took that photo, why there's anything like it in that frame. And part of, I think that that is aging, and I'm obviously doing that. So I don't remember so clearly. So adding just those quick words even can help move beyond that.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, like, why? I mean, for me, it's always that question of why. Why is this important to me, or why was this important to me? Or, you know, was there some other little reason why you took that picture? You know, I mean, it can be a big story. It can be a little story. It can be, you know, just some kind of context added in to something that, or, you know, and it can be funny. It can be really funny. It could be really, you know, not funny. It could be the kind of thing where, you know, it's like, I'm looking at a picture of my daughter right now and it's a really cute, smiley picture of her. And I like it, but I also wonder, like, what did she do before? What did she do after? Was she grouchy that day? Like, was this a, you know, was this a momentary, like a lucky moment, or was it, she was really genuinely happy that day? I mean, those sorts of things. We just, if you don't write those things down, you don't remember them.
Right. Exactly.
Or I know I don't.
Yeah. I don't. And I think I will. That's the thing that gets me. I think I'll remember, and then life happens and I don't.
I think it's interesting too, that it seems to me that even though we love to look at the picture, people still resonate with words. And, you know, I can, like, for example, you could post a picture, and if I don't write up anything about it, you know, people just like it, might say, nice picture. But if I write this backstory and express my emotions that I was thinking this, or I was disappointed by something, or I was encouraged here, or whatever, all of a sudden this picture connects with all these people in a completely different way. And it makes me think about the week in the life, making sure to write those details down so that in a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, I can go back and remember those emotions, and I'm going to reconnect with that picture in a different way.
Totally. I think it's really like sharing the gift of your perspective too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Sharing the gift of your perspective of adding some context, of telling, like, why was it important to you? And I think for me, like, I have these photo albums of my parents, you know, that they took lots of pictures when I was a kid, and I love looking at them, but it would be a richer experience. It would be a different experience if I could read what my mom was thinking at that point in time. You know, if I could read what, You know, what was our daily routine like? What were we doing then? You know, what did she think about it? Was she, and I've talked about this before that, you know, I can ask her now, she's in her 60s and we can talk about it and she will remember, you know, bits and pieces, or she'll have clouded memories too, or, you know, memories of like, oh, that was a hard time, or that was a great time, because she's forgetting the hard time. You know what I mean?
Like, they're
just, and some of that is a blessing at the same time, you know, to be able to, for people to move on through the challenging times, even though we know that that was happening, during a specific point in time too. But yeah, I know for me, it's always been this idea of adding my own perspective to it. And for me, the words are a big piece of how I process my own, life experience. And so for me, you know, I'm doing it. I always tell people I'm doing this as much for myself, or more for myself than for anybody else. Like, it will be a side benefit that if my kids enjoy it, you know, it's really a lot about me and expressing how I see the world, and figuring out my own self through the process of both taking pictures and writing things down too.
So Allie, when you're writing those things down, are you writing mostly the why, or are you giving just more of the detail, the who, the what, the when? What's your approach, especially during the week in the life?
I think my goal is usually, I have a facts and feelings goal, and that's kind of what I try to focus on. And in some of the classes that I teach about journaling, or, you know, where it's more focused on the story, that's one of my biggest tips to people, is how can you include both? Like, both is my goal. I want to have the facts. So I want to know, you know, kind of the who, what, why, where, who, what, when, you know, the basic details of where was this, when was it, you know, what, maybe what's the surrounding, you know, what was going on, sort of thing. But then I also want to have my own perspective, more my own interpretation, or my own emotional feelings included as well. So let's say it's a back to school, you know, it's kids going back to school, or I'm thinking of a picture of Simon walking out to the bus that I've taken, that I would have taken one year during Week in the Life. And, you know, it's the facts of the picture are, you know, that it's 6 a.m, or that it's really early, and that he is bused to his school because he's a special needs kid, and so he has a long bus ride. And so those are, you know, these kind of factual things that go along with the story. It's not just there goes Simon getting on the bus. Mm-hmm. You know, it's there's some other things that go along with it that give more context. But then it's also whatever I like to try to include whatever my emotional feelings are about it. You know, it's always hard to have your kid walk out the door, and, you know, we got lots of emotional things wrapped up in what his school experience is. And so I try to include that as well, of how I'm feeling about it. Or a lot of the times for me, it's celebrating stuff. Like, I'm so happy that you got on the bus and you were in a good mood today. And, you know, I'm so proud of you. There's a talk a lot about that kind of thing, you know, expressing how I feel about my kids is a lot of what I write about, as well. And, you know, words of encouragement, words of praise, pride, those sorts of things mixed in with, you know, stuff that's real. Like, you had a hard day, you know, this was really hard for you to get on the bus today, those sorts of things, as well. So facts and feelings are really kind of where that's my goal. And I don't always meet that goal, because sometimes I'm just like, oh, whatever, you know, blah, blah, this is what was happening, you know? And I mean, because you can't always do that level of, it's not sustainable. For me, it's not sustainable to have like really solid, good writing all the time, you know? But like I said, that is my goal of to include both the facts and the feelings. That's what I aim for.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have to ask you a question that maybe it seems like left field. Do you have an idea of about how much time you spend in like your average week? Not during Week in the Life, but like during your average week, how much time do you spend taking photos, putting them on pages, adding your words for you?
Not very often. And you know, I think, well, let me figure this out. It's hard because right now right now I'm really in work mode. Mm-hmm. And the work that I'm doing right now is more graphic design work. So it's more product development. It's more getting classes ready. It's that kind of stuff. So that's not necessarily making layouts either. That's like doing all of the other things that go into the work that I do. So for me, like on a regular week right now, I still take quite a few pictures. Like I said, mainly iPhone pictures. I did take my big camera out yesterday. We went to this like little community block party thing and I took a few pictures with my big camera. But generally it's like iPhone shots around the house, that sort of thing. And then if I am in a good rhythm, I'm printing those pictures out and adding them to Project Life is generally what I've been doing. And Project Life is kind of more a week at a glance sort of thing. I mean, it could be whatever you want it to be, but that's how I do that one. But lately my working hours have been more spent on product design and conception. And that's just where I'm at. Yeah. In my own process right now. So maybe an hour, maybe a couple hours. I mean, it's not very much. Right. I think sometimes people have this vision that like I scrapbook all day.
That's why I had to ask.
I'm just sitting here writing all day, you know, and it's really, there have been times when that's been more the case or that I've done more actual scrapbooking. But right now it's really more of, moving the business forward, and especially for me because I've had business changes and I've changed license agreements and I'm doing all these things that are a little bit different than I've done in the past. I'm doing more actual graphic design work, which is fun because that's one of my skills, but it's also less time going into just like writing out how our day went. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's So I'm actually feeling more like a regular working person. And I'm thinking a lot about how, you know, if you are quote unquote regular working person, you guys get what I mean, you know, regular working person that goes to a job and then has a hobby. And how do you find time for your hobby?
Right. Where do you tuck it in to all those loose spots?
Yes. Yeah. And I am like, I am not a stay up late person. My kids go to bed and I am heading to bed, you know, like I'm a 9 o'clock to bed. That's my preferred time. So, you know, it depends on the workload, obviously, but I think right. That's when a lot of people would do hobby sort of things or on the weekends. And then I travel and, you know, it's just the same. I have the same issues everybody else has.
Right. Right. And I think where I was really going with that is that understanding that documenting the words to go with our photos doesn't have to take a lot of time, that
right.
we can fit it into the nooks and crannies and still get something meaningful.
Totally.
I've been using the Collect Photo app for the last 2 years. And, you know, I put a sentence or two each day with the photo. It takes me, you know, it takes me probably just a couple of minutes to do it.
Yeah.
And I asked Shay, my husband, last week. He was looking at an album that they're in, and I asked him, like, you know, do you really even need those sentences? Because sometimes they feel really not
forced.
All that. Yeah, yeah. They feel forced. They don't feel very meaningful. It'll be like,
right.
you know, Ian agreed to eat, you know, peas today or whatever. And he said they wouldn't be the same. So they wouldn't be the same without that one sentence.
See, I'm all over those kind of sentences too. I mean, because that Ian ate peas tonight. I mean, for me, obviously that resonates with me because, you know, Simon has had food issues. And so, you know, I mean, that to me, there's a whole, like, that's a whole, that is capturing something that's intentional because you can go back on that and you can expand on that.
Right.
You can tell a bigger story because you documented one fact that wasn't just like we ate dinner at 7 p.m. You know, you could have that could have been what you wrote down, but you wrote down something that was more specific because it was more meaningful to you of what he actually did. You know, and then I'm all for that. That Collect app is really cool too. I've used that a couple times when I did like, you know, I wanted to have a month full of photos sorts of things. I also use Evernote. Evernote has been a great program for me, not only for like, ideas, like design ideas and project ideas and those sorts of things. But also I have, you know, will just write down little notes to myself. Like if my kids say something funny in the car, or there's some piece that I want to remember or some story that I want to tell, I use that to keep everything, you know, kind of contained in one place.
So do you, those notes, are they on one running page in Evernote, or do you do each one separate?
They are separate, and then I will go back in and, you know, whenever the time comes for me to access them, then I will go back in. But I'm also a sticky note person, so I have tons of sticky notes of little things that I've written down that I then like will put in Project Life, if that's where, you know, that's where a lot of those little stories for me would go, into there, of things that somebody said something funny or, you know, that kind of thing too.
I use the Collect app like Katrina does a lot. And I do a lot of simple sentence documenting just in the Collect app, mainly because I have a lot of kids and people don't know which kid is which, you know, and in 10 years, I have three boys that look like they could be the same boy at, you know, 5 years old. And even my husband is like, which one is that? And I'm like, honey, that's Jonah. That's Jeremiah. And then I do a little bit like what you do, except for I use Day One, and my pictures automatically all behind the scenes go into Day One for me, and I can pull it up and add a lot more detail, you know, as I need it, as I think about it, my feelings, kind of like you use Evernote, you know, and just kind of let it all sit there in the background. So
good stuff. So I have to tell a sad story. I've been using Olife.
Oh, it's going away.
I saw that.
No. And I've been using it religiously since it came out, because I really love it. You know, I love it because it would just ask you, what did you do today? And I would sit usually in the evening. My husband and I kind of try to take this little quiet time after Ian's gone to bed, and I try to step away from work. And I would sit with my phone. This is how like connected I am to him, right? I'm sitting with him. I'm on my phone. And I would just write longer about the day and about things that happened during the day, and separate from photos, which was a big step for me to not make it so photo driven. And then every time that they would send that question, they would show me something from 2 years ago, or show me something from a year ago. So I'm going to miss it. But in that, I can export everything that I've written, and I'm going to move it over to Evernote. And then I think I'm going to begin to do something more meaningful with it and line it up with some photos and get it into a place that we will have secure and be able to look back on. So
that'll be so cool. I mean, I think that just it's such a great idea to do that, the daily something.
Right.
You know, the time that I spend playing the dumb little video game on my phone, I could be writing out a line for the day. You
that's
know,
right.
I mean, it's
no guilt though.
I don't have it, but man, I get tired. That's why.
You know, I think we have to have that mindless time too. You know, it's easy to fill our lives with projects and priorities, and sometimes we just need to step away. That is okay.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Allie, if you had to boil it down into three simple steps that you could give everyday photographers to strengthen the stories they tell, either in photos or words, what would those be?
I wrote down three things. Thank you. You're so kind to send these in to me. Yeah, so I can think about it. So just disclaimer to everyone that I thought this through.
I love when you think about it. As you've been talking today, I'm like struck, and I always feel this way when I've had opportunities to talk with you, that like you're just so stinking smart.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so nice. I think I'm mental is really, you know, and there's a piece of that that goes into it. And I say that in like, with kindness towards myself. I mean, it's more of a running joke.
It's that introspective piece of
you. It's a very, very big piece of me. And the whole, like, you know, I really am somebody that pays attention to what's happening. And that can be overwhelming, at the same time that it's something that's a gift, I think. And so it's, you know, this constantly me trying to figure stuff out and needing to just chill, just relax. Okay. So I wrote three things down, and I think the first thing for me, is that idea of paying attention. And it's paying attention to the stories that pop up, whether or not you have a camera in your hand, you know, like what, and maybe it's stopping and asking yourself, like, what is the important story that's happening in our lives right now? Or what's the important story that's happening in my life right now? And then, you know, grabbing your camera and how can you take a photograph to represent that? That would be my first thing, is this idea of paying attention. And then the next one is letting go of trying to get the perfect shot. Like, I think that people that are really into photography as a hobby, and I can see this happening to myself because I want to get better, or I want to learn, you know, have some more skills that I can call on to kind of tell these stories better. And I'm using the term better because I don't think you have to be this way, but there are things that I would like to learn how to do so that I could communicate something more authentically, I think is what I'm trying to say. But the idea of that it doesn't have to be perfect, of that if you walk by, you see something happening and you pull your iPhone camera out and you capture something, you know, that imperfect something can still tell a tremendous story. Like, it doesn't have to be this perfectly crafted picture. And I've done that. That's been something that has been a piece of what I've done for a long time, whether it's been blurry pictures, you know, that represent the speed that time goes by, or whether it's just technically imperfect ones, the color isn't great, or the, you know, they're grainy, or I use the stupid feature on my phone that turns around and takes the picture of yourself rather than turning the camera around. So you get this grainy, you know, I mean, I've done all kinds of things, but some of the, you know, it's still, for me, it's that might be the best picture I took all day. And it's, you know, I'm going to use it. I will use it in my stuff because those are the kind of stories that I'm telling. It's that the picture goes along with the rest of it. And then the other thing I wrote down, I think for me, that the thing that I am really have worked on over time is that I really have the story first attitude, and the story does come first for me often, whether it's something in my head or it's something that I've written down. And it's starting with the story and figuring out, you know, what do I want to document right now? What do I want to say about our lives right now? What do I want to say about myself right now? And then either going through the pictures I've already been taking and pairing that with one of those, or, you know, going out and shooting something that would be representative of that. So it's kind of similar to the first one, but, you know, what's the story first? And I think for photographers, it's really interesting to change the way, or to try changing the way you're doing it, just to see what happens. If you think about the story first and then you go shoot it, you know, how is that different? Yeah. And how, you know, how does that impact your process, and what do you get different kinds of shots if you do it that way versus just going about your time, you know, going about your regular routines and shooting things and then coming back? Like, if you mix it up, what sort of, do you get different images? It would be interesting to have kind of an experiment on that too.
Yeah. Fun. Good tips.
Okay.
And I just want to mention, you passed. I want to mention that on October 27th, when you kick off Week in the Life, we are also going to have a prompt that's going to correspond with that. I had a little fun with it. Since it's one of my favorite projects, we had to include it on the October prompt list. So awesome. that will show up. Awesome. So, Allie, as always, thank you. This has been a tremendously insightful and interesting conversation with you.
You're welcome. I love talking about it. So it's good for me to talk about it because I'm that, like I said, I am that person that's in my head. So getting to actually verbalize it is a good process. Good work for me too. So thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So tell everybody where they can find you, and tell everybody where they can find you.
So you guys can find me at allieedwards.com. And on there, there's, like I said, the blog and classes and digital products and shop and all kinds of crazy stuff on there. But that is my home base.
Yeah. So you do have a new class coming up on November 4th. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. I'm going to run a class that's called Lens of Joy. And it is a photography class, but it's a photography class that's being taught by a non-professional photographer, which I think for some people are like, what? But it's mainly, what it's going to be is talking about kind of my philosophy of the way that I look through the lens and talking about then my processes too, you know, why do I pick some of the, what we've talked about today. So, you know, why do I pick up the camera? How do I choose to do certain things? Though there will be a section on composition and design and some of the things that I do use. I've had requests from people in the past to do a class like this, and I've resisted for a number of years and said, you know, I'm not a professional. I don't have anything to say. And as I've thought about it more, I mean, I do have some things to say. And I think that there are some tips and some ideas of the way that I approach it that could be helpful for a certain population of people who are interested in memory keeping, and that maybe don't have an interest in becoming a professional photographer, but they want to think about the way that they look through the lens. They want to think about the stories that they're going to tell. They want to kind of explore where they're at and where they want to go with that. And then I'll cover just kind of my own personal processes of what I use for organization and how I print and, you know, things that are relatable, I think, for memory keepers specifically. So thank you for bringing that up.
Oh, No problem. I kind of dove into the description and the video a couple of days ago. And then yesterday I decided that I'm going to give it to myself as a gift.
Oh, woo-hoo! Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. So I signed up yesterday.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Because I think, you know, you have something to say and I admire your photos. I admire your approach. So it'll be a little nice little gift for me. So.
Cool. I appreciate it. I think that I'm really excited about working on the content. Like for me, anytime I do a class, I learn so much personally through the process of developing the content, because the content is really important to me. I mean, it definitely, any of the classes that I've done, like I care very much about, you know, I care very much that people are getting value, and I care that it's a good experience for people. And so I definitely put a lot into it. And so for me, just figuring out how do I approach this and what are the important things to say and how can I help people on their own journey with their photos? Like it's been cool just kind of diving into that for me too. So,
yeah. And I spent so much time kind of digging into the technical side, that I thought it would be fun to.
Yes.
To
less have, technical.
Yeah.
Definitely,
that side.
Definitely more about just picking up a camera. So, you know, and going for it.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Allie. And thank you, Kelly. And Kelly, you probably noticed I dispensed with our normal format, and I'm just skipping those things for this round. We'll catch up on those in our next episode. You can hear the typical, you know, the typical spiel stuff that we do. So thank you for being here. Thank you once again for listening to Capture Your 365 podcast. You can find us at CaptureYour365.com.